Well, Taoiseach Micheál Martin has defended the government's planned neutrality debates and said it would be, in quotes, a fundamental mistake to shy away from re-examining Ireland's defence policy. Claims by President Michael D. Higgins that Ireland is experiencing a dangerous, in quotes, drift in foreign policy have caused concerns at the highest levels of government. Well, I'm joined on the line now by James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, and also Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South and former Deputy Commander of the Army Ranger Wing. Good morning to you both. Cathal, we might start off with you then, and just to maybe give people an idea where these comments have come from Michael D. Higgins and essentially what he said to the Business Post over the weekend.
Yeah, so basically my understanding is President Higgins had an interview with the Business Post probably on Thursday of last week, and they were publishing the Business Post on Sunday. And just, there is a long-standing convention which I agree with, that members of the Dáil don't criticise the President and the President doesn't criticise members of the Dáil. But to be fair to the President, he did recognise that some of his comments were out of line, and he issued an apology yesterday, and I very much welcome that.
Yeah, some of the comments that you're referencing there were about Louise Richardson, the chair of the forthcoming Consultative Forum. They've caused controversy. Fine Gael TD and former Minister for Foreign Affairs Charlie Flanagan accusing Mr. Higgins of engaging in an unnecessary and gratuitous attack which was uncalled for. Now, just give me an idea of what was said there from Michael D. Higgins. And I know an apology came from his office yesterday.
Yeah, he just passed a comment in relation to her, I suppose, the award she received about 2 years ago from the British establishment, where she was a Dame of the British Empire. But we have to bear in mind as well that our current Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, he has an OBE as well. And to be honest, we shouldn't really be criticising the award of any kind of an award from a different foreign state. That was the issue. They don't have any problem with our Goshko awards, for instance, or if a UK citizen got the Freedom of Dublin from the Dublin Lord Mayor, and it wouldn't be appropriate for the UK establishment to kind of speak derogatorily about that award either. So in fairness to the President, again, he did recognise he strayed outside his lane a little bit, and he apologised yesterday for it, and I very much welcome that.
Okay, let's go back then to the neutrality debates. What exactly is the issue that Michael D. Higgins has with the possibility of having these debates, and what's your view on it, Cathal?
Yes, so I think that the vast majority, I suppose, first of all, the President has a long-standing position in relation to Ireland's military posture, which is everybody accepts. There's no problem with that at all. And the idea of having these discussions, and I very much welcome these discussions in the consultation forum that is happening this week and next week. I'm attending as many of them as I can. I think it's very, very good that we can actually have a discussion about defence. It seems to be a kind of a taboo topic. And one of the reasons, and if any of your listeners drive to Curragh Camp today or later on this week, you can see how dilapidated the buildings are. They're all publicly owned buildings, but they're falling down, and our defence forces are very, very poorly resourced. And one of the reasons why our defence forces are so poorly resourced is we haven't had a mature discussion about our defence posture and how we should be interacting internationally from a defence point of view. So I very much welcome the opportunity to have these discussions. I'm in favour of resourced neutrality, is how I would describe myself. It's no point in having a policy of neutrality but not resourcing it, because you have to rely on NATO aircraft, for instance, to look after airspace and our sea space, and require NATO aircraft to extract Irish citizens from Sudan. So I would be in favour of resource neutrality, that we can look after ourselves so that we don't have to depend on the charity of others.
Okay, let's bring in Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless then. And James, Fine Gael Minister of State Neil Richmond said that President Michael D. Higgins had gone close to stepping over the line in terms of his authority to make such comments. Charlie Flanagan accused Mr. Higgins of trying to shape government policy against a background of a strong tradition that presidents don't challenge government policy. We'll talk more about the debates around neutrality, and we'll leave President Michael D. Higgins' comments here, but it seems to have got government's backs up, James.
Well, I think it's quite unhelpful, to be honest. I'm reminded of a few weeks ago, President Higgins made comments about economists and their approach, and he sort of talked about, I suppose, an old neocon sort of economic Keynesian agenda. But it turned out that numerous economists came on the airwaves in the coming days and said that was incorrect. That was based upon a 1970s curriculum, and they actually invited the president to join them in any lecture hall in the country to see how economics is taught today. So I think it seems to me we have a situation that the president has a political view and a worldview. He's entitled to that. It's probably a view he formed when he was, a student radical back in the 70s. And he probably hasn't changed an awful lot from that. But the world has changed. And I suppose the office that he holds now is not the office that he held when he was a student leader. Or even as an opposition TD in the Dáil back in those days, a little bit later. It's a very serious office, and he's entitled to his remarks, but I do think that there is a bit of a catch-22 here, that the president can sort of run out every so often and have a go at the government or have a go at the state or criticise policy, but we have to be extremely careful and respectful and dignified in our response, because there's a constitutional convention that we don't ever criticise the president, and I don't want to do that today. But it does mean that it's a bit of a one-sided debate. And I think perhaps that privilege should be used more judiciously and cautiously by the president in these situations. So I suppose what I'd say is that the forum that Camille Cahill has described, it's a really interesting, important forum. It looks at a number of things, from cybersecurity to our maritime territories, through to Ireland's historical position, our neutrality, as it's evolved over many, many centuries, in fact. And invite submissions and invite debate. I think it's a healthy conversation to be having. And I hope the president will be engaging in that forum properly. There is a submissions window open until the middle of July. I'm sure the resources the IRS has, he could pen a submission or have some of his advisors do it with him. And have his say in the right fashion. But I would be concerned that this might, get the forum off to the wrong start. It's an open forum. It's open for debate. There's no preconceived decisions or conclusions. And it's there for this very reason, to have this debate. So I would just hope that he would not have, muddy the pitch from the off with his comments. So some of them, I would say, are a little bit, like you talked about a drift. I don't see any drift at all. I actually see quite a number of important decisions to be made, which will be made by the government on an informed basis. And the other point he made is he said about NATO or neutrality. Now, it's not as simple as that. He's presenting that as a binary choice. There are multiple different spectrum we could adopt here. We could join a European alliance. We could go take part in further UN missions. We could revisit the triple lock. We could look at further multilateralism through other international groups. So there's lots of ways we can do this. And in terms of the neutral countries, the other thing the president said was, where are the neutral countries? Well, I'll answer that very easily. They've all joined NATO. There's very few of them left, because people are seeing the way the world is going. Finland, Sweden, traditionally neutral, have now joined up. I was actually in Stockholm by chance. I was at a justice conference there a few months ago, the same week that they voted to join NATO. They voted something like 90% of their parliament. Of course, all parties voted overwhelmingly. Now, we may not take that step, but we may well decide to play a greater part in European missions abroad. As Cahill will well know, has often highlighted, for example, when we have to repatriate Irish citizens home, be it from the Sudan, be it from the Middle East, be it from places like Ukraine, we can't deploy more than 12 troops at a time. Because if we were to do so, we would be in violation of our self-imposed restrictions. Yeah. Surely Irish citizens are in a war zone abroad. We need to be able to send the Rangers and whoever else we need over without having to go to the United Nations Security Council for permission.
Yeah, and just to put that into the broader picture as well, Tánaiste Micheál Martin saying that every country in Europe has examined and re-examined its foreign security and defence policies, and Ireland is no different. But it's interesting as well, James, from a Fianna Fáil point of view. I mean, neutrality has always kind of been to the fore of the Fianna Fáil policy, even back to Éamon de Valera days. So do you think, because of what's happened in Russia and Ukraine, we need to take a look at that now? And is the party going to change its stance?
Well, I would say the party has always had, we've always adapted to the times. I think if you look back in history, if we go back even further than De Valera, if we go back to Wolfe Tone, the Spanish Armada landed on the West Coast. Wolfe Tone was engaged with the Republicans in France and indeed the United States, because those movements were starting around 1798. If we go to 1916 and the proclamation, we talk about gallant allies abroad, and they were working with many others in different countries. De Valera himself recognised that. I suppose the reason De Valera took a particular position in the early 20s and the early 30s was we were just coming out of the British Empire, and he didn't want us being dragged into imperial wars, like the Boer War was in recent memory. World War One had just taken place, a massive loss of life. Of course, many Irish people did as a soldier in those wars. But De Valera didn't want to have us embroiled, and Churchill was looking over his shoulder thinking that'd be handy cannon fodder there now to Ireland into battle. So he was trying to stay out of that. But people like Lamass said famously in the 60s that he expected that the European alliance, if it progressed, would have a military aspect, certainly a common defence aspect. So we haven't had a dogmatic position. And indeed, when I recently rewrote the aims of the party, which was endorsed unanimously at the Ardèche a year ago, one of the new goals is to defend our democracy. And that included looking at our sovereignty, looking at our coastal waters, our maritime territory, which is six times our land territory, and taking whatever precautions we needed and to work with other states to do so. So this is not an anathema to the party at all. In actual fact, it's something that we are quite stand quite proudly on, that we need to defend ourselves and work with others to defend civil rights and the rule of law around the world.
Okay, Cathal Berry, just to bring you back in on this then, obviously you are a TD now, but you were the former deputy commander of the Army Ranger Wing, so you'll know the ins and the outs of the Defence Forces. Do you think that we need to look now at our position, our neutral position?
First of all, I very much agree with what James was saying there, particularly his comments in relation to that it's not a binary choice between neutrality or NATO. And I would use the third end, which is normality. So we're not discussing neutrality or NATO. We're discussing normality. It is completely normal to discuss defence in any other EU country. It's just regarded as another area of government policy, like housing, like education, like health. So I very much welcome the fact that the forums are happening, particularly two of them are happening on university campuses. And that's completely appropriate as well. We should be able to discuss anything on university campuses. And we've been here before. If you remember the divorce referendum, if you remember the reproductive rights referendums, the marriage equality referendum, there was always an emotive component to those topics. And there's a similar emotive component to the defence posture. So I suppose in summary, it is completely normal to discuss defence issues in a very dispassionate, objective way. So some of your listeners might have heard Richard Boy Barrett and myself discussing or debating on other radio stations there yesterday. I got on very, very well with Richard, and it's a classic example of how we should be conducting this debate. We hold similar views in some instances, but very different views in other instances. But you never hear myself and Richard having a go with each other. All we'd be doing is articulating our point of view. I suppose the bottom line is, it's completely normal for separate or different individuals to hold different views, and we shouldn't be trying to personalise, polarise or demonise anybody who just happens to hold a different view. It's called democracy, and I happen to believe in that.
Okay, so back to the question then, and what is your view on Ireland's neutrality?
Yeah, I think that the vast majority of people, and I agree with it, would be in favour of an independent posture, and that we can respond on a case-by-case basis, which we've always done. So it's resource neutrality is what we're supposed to be doing. It's like if you have a policy, a justice policy, for instance, and you don't resource it, I mean, don't expect it to succeed. And defence is exactly the same. And if we have an independent policy, if we decide to stand alone and fight alone if necessary, then we should resource it. But currently, we're not a neutral country. We claim to be, but we haven't resourced it. And as a result, we're very much dependent on regional security arrangements, and we're very, very vulnerable and exposed. Well, we're uniquely vulnerable. Every other EU country either resources their neutrality or has joined a regional alliance. We have done neither in Ireland, so this is not normal. That's the key message to get across. It's not normal, and it's perfectly appropriate, indeed, I would say essential, that we discuss how best to proceed from here.
Independent TD for Kildare South, former Deputy Commander of the Army Ranger Wing, Cathal Berry. Thanks for your time this morning, Cathal. Good morning to you. James, just before I let you go, I note that Garda Commissioner James Harris is to immediately, or not, Drew Harris, I should say, is to immediately begin buying long-awaited body cams for frontline Gardaí, which have been described as crucial for the safety of the force. The Irish Examiner is reporting Minister for Justice Helen McEntee will this morning tell Cabinet that Mr. Harris is to start the tendering process for the body cams straight away. What way will this work, James?
Yeah, so what's happening here is the Gardaí will be equipped with body cameras which they can wear on their person. There will be a little light on them to tell you when they're on or off, so that, you know, people can be, if they're talking, sharing confidential information with the Gardaí, they don't have to be concerned it's being recorded. But if they're in a crowd situation or there's a disturbance outside of a nightclub or on the street or at a protest or at a march or whatever, at a festival, you know, it'd be quite clearly flashing at them so that it's on and it's recording. There was a bit of a row at government about this over the last year, and what was problematic about it was the facial recognition technology, which is a form of artificial intelligence, and there was a fear that that could be scanning the crowd, scanning the street, identifying individuals as being potentially wanted persons or persons of interest, and then they were being, I suppose, they could be taken away and arrested and questioned. The problem with that technology, we've all heard the debates about artificial intelligence in the last couple of months, and up to 80% of suspects apprehended by the London Metropolitan Police were falsely identified. So the nightmare scenario, you're minding your own business on 8th Main Street, on Minute Main Street or whatever else, at a festival or a concert, or just walk down your business and suddenly you're arrested and brought to the station, and 24 hours later they say, oh, sorry, computer got it wrong, it wasn't you at all. So anyway, we've taken that out of it. And something I said a long time ago, why don't we split the two? Body cameras are essential. The Gardaí need them. Let's give it to them. We already did our work on that a year ago under my Justice Committee, but it was held up because there was this debate about whether they should tag on this artificial intelligence piece at the end of it. My view was, no, let's give them the body cameras straight and simple as they are. They're needed, they're urgent, let's get them out there. And let's look at the AI piece, the visual recognition technology, separately. So government have now agreed to that, which means we can pass the body cameras without further delay. I hope to give that a date in the next 2 to 3 weeks. We'll get that law passed by the summer recess, and then we can take the artificial intelligence, the more complex, problematic piece, we can look at as a separate module in the new term. But the good news for the Gardaí, and I spoke to a number of Gardaí locally yesterday about this, and they're all very pleased to hear that these cameras are on the way.
Okay, that's James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. Thanks for your time, James.